All right, hour number two, and we are going to debut this year's Dave Yeager show right now. We will not talk about the Yankees-Twins series this week because, you know, we don't care, but we will talk about the Kings. We will talk about a lot of things in the NBA, and we look forward to having the coach on each and every week. Dave, it's Grant and Doug. How are you today?
Gentlemen, I am doing really well. How are y'all?
Doing good. You know, Doug and I have been talking a lot over the past couple of weeks about the vibe and the commitment and how many of your players were in Sacramento for a large part of the offseason, and all the young players, second-year players, Willie, pretty much have been here from August 1st voluntarily doing their thing. I mean, what a great vibe going on right now.
Yeah, you know, I think there's always the idea of hope and the fresh start of a new season, but especially so, I think, with this group because they've been here and they've been putting in their work. And, you know, we can go on and on about that, you know, come from great programs and good families, and they're just good dudes. But it was kind of nice to have 8-9 guys in there, and you mix in some different D-League guys that we're looking at for different contracts and two-way contracts. And it's just a really good energy in the gym. And I really do hope that's the same energy you'll feel, you know, when you come in January and February.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about energy, and I see your energy being able to come, and you're being gracious enough to let us check it out from time to time. And your energy and looking at the way you go about it, is it different than your approach was when you had more veterans, or is that just your style? Because I like the energy you're bringing.
Oh, thank you. I think, you know, we were talking about it earlier today, you know, going into last season, you know, you're hoping to find a way to, you know, scratch, claw, and kick and bite to get into the playoffs. And we've pivoted from that. And when you're going through that, or, you know, when I was coaching Memphis, I think sometimes maybe you bristle a little bit more. You're a little bit quick to react, to be protective of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a situation now where, you know, I feel just, you know, a very positive vibe about going out and getting better every day and competing every single day. And then as we get older, learning how to win, and there's different grades and levels that you have to graduate to. And I'm looking forward to the process. I really like our group, and I think it's going to be a fun group to come in and work with every day. And I'm having a lot of fun already, and I can't wait to get started because there's rules to what you can and can't do before, you know, the official start of practice. So I'm chomping at the bit, and so are all of our coaches, to get out there and work with our guys.
We're talking with Dave Yeager right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. And, Dave, the one thing you've done a lot this summer, you've really been out and about, coaching clinics, you know, all kinds of groups. I know that that's great because, you know, you've been here now pretty much a full calendar year, and you've really become indoctrinated with this community and doing things. I know that's something that's really important to you.
Yeah, thank you. It is. I think, you know, the first year in Memphis as a head coach, you're just trying to get your wits about you, and the same thing, you know, moving and everything out here. And now we did the coaches clinic, and we had a summer, and we went through the draft process, a second one together, and everything is, you know what to expect, and you know where things are, and you know where to where you can help a little bit here and there, different camps and different clinics. And we did a backpack giveaway, and supporting this and supporting that as I'm able to, and try to do it as much as I can during the off season because you have more days, you know, obviously. But we'll try to continue to do that throughout the season as well. We're going to do a coaching clinic, and I don't know if that's been released to the public or not, if I can say that, but it'll come up, you know, towards the end of October, and we'll let everybody know about that because the first one was a home run. It was a lot of fun.
You know, Coach, yesterday we had Willie on. Not sure if you heard him, but we were talking about coaching and styling and different things like that. And he said that maybe your approach, because you have so many players that most of them, even Willie, probably they should still be in college, your approach might be a little bit more aggressive towards them because there's a lot of teaching that needs to go on, except for your three amigos, the veterans, of course.
Yeah, I think we should do like an online. I need some names for the guys who are third year and below.
Okay.
League, and then everybody else. And I can throw out some of them are not so, you know. But so, yeah, if you get any of those, go ahead and forward them on for the audience. That'd be fantastic. It is, you know, and you know, you go out there and you teach in small groups of like I said, what is legal over the course of September. And I like want to yell at some of these guys, you know, like I want to get after a little bit. And, you know, I tell them to do something and they just do it. You know, like you need to make this pass and then you make this cut and then boom, they just go out and they try it when they're playing in their pickup games. I'm like, why don't y'all give me something to get mad about, you know? So
right.
They're a sensitive, want to learn, eager to please group. And obviously, we haven't hit any adversity yet. We haven't had any losses yet. But I think the mindset is that we're going to be very hands on with the young group every single day. And I think with an older group, and you're winning 50 games a year, maybe less is more. Your workouts are a little shorter. You just more of a polish. But we've got a lot of heavy lifting to do, and doing it in a positive and energetic fashion every day they come to gym with guys that you like makes a huge difference.
Dave Yeager joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Doug and I have talked about, you know, you've had a glimpse at even your young players. They've been in working out. You've been able to, you know, talk to them. But then you have another player that's coming over here this weekend who just finished the European Championships, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, who maybe you haven't seen a lot of, haven't had a lot of interaction. And I know everyone's excited. How much do you know about him?
Yeah, it's difficult, and we're excited to get our hands on him and see what skills he possesses that you can then use in the team that we have here. Because you can watch him on film, but it's similar to looking at a player who's been traded almost from the league, and you think, well, maybe we'll run some of those actions. Or, you know what, it just works best if you just get him here, and then they fit in with your group, and you see. I think what you're going to see with him is we'll be very patient with him. First of all, he's played a lot. It's a long season in Europe, and then you have all the European championships. But also, he's adjusting to a new language. Now, he speaks very good English anyways, but yep. A new culture, a new time zone, all new teammates, a new contract, which was a fair contract for both sides, I feel. And one of my messages to him is trust me, because I'm going to trust you. We're going to be doing this together for a while. You might not be right out there on the white team right from the first jump. You know, these guys have been here, and they kind of have an idea of some things and different drills and, you know, this and that. Just learn as much as you can. I can't wait to see him play.
You know, Coach, one guy, you turned one pick into two picks, and the two picks were Harry Giles and Justin Jackson. Harry Giles is an interesting prospect from a lot of different reasons. Very high coming out of high school. Obviously, he had some knee injuries. But what is your take on what you've seen from young Harry so far?
Well, I think, you know, when you're running up and down, you're playing pickup ball, and you're free and loose, you know, just watching those pickup games, he looks fantastic. He's a willing learner. He's a worker. And he's got some talent. I'll tell you what, he has got some talent. So, you know, you just hope that the years go by and you stay away from injury, and that he's able to continue to build on that talent, because he's got some stuff to him, and it's very intriguing is exactly the word of what he'll bring to the party. And you got to get into philosophy. At some point, we're going to, you know, be talking about exactly as we get through training camp and then going forward. You know, I don't know that I would love to see him play in the D-League all year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is a high-level talent. And maybe that he doesn't play three NBA games a week, but maybe he, you know, and how you schedule it out. So you take care of his body, which is only 19 years old, and off of a couple of surgeries here, and lay some concrete down and let it get dry.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be with your team as much as possible, and then go play in the D-League when you can grab a bunch of minutes all in a hurry. And, you know, those conversations will be had.
Come with Dave Yeager. You know, if I go by only watching you coach for 1 year, it was apparent to me that you're a believer in, you know, not handing the keys to players too early, and you got to really earn your time. And if you're going to be out on the court, it's because you deserve and you've earned to go onto the court. And this year with so many young pups, are you going to be able to do that? Is your philosophy, because your roster's so young, going to have to be a little bit different in that regard?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because, you know, I think first of all, you have to try to take it, you know, at the top where the veterans are. They've been there, and you give them the first chance to prove that they can or can't get it done, or that they can or can't beat the dudes out that are younger. But also, we want to have the culture where everybody is getting better, and there's not the, well, I should be playing in front of this guy. Dude, you're both 19 years old. You know what I mean? And you're going to be together for a while. We don't need – but when we step between the lines, you got to make each other better every day. And as competition – happens, you want to show that you're a better player, but it only happens between the lines, and that's it. So we want to be careful of how we manage that, and you're exactly right. I do want guys to have to earn their minutes.
When you look at Vince and you look at Randolph, they're a little bit older. Obviously, George Hill, he's still a veteran, but he's a little younger. When you look at Vince and Randolph, once you start that 57 Chevy, Coach, how are you going to have your mindset? Are you going to say, once I start it, I want to get them out there, or do I need that experience coming off the bench, or is that something that will develop over training camp?
Yeah, probably a little both, as a lot of coaches answer, you know, but there needs to be a little bit of a mix. I think Vince is very comfortable coming off the bench, you know, the last 5-6 years of his career. I know Zach did it last year. I don't know how I know exactly how he feels about it, because Zach's my guy. But but it's also, as you said, one thing affects the other. So which group are they playing with? I would prefer not to play five young guys all at one time together. I think, you know, having a veteran or two on each of those two groups helps with developing those young players. And you also have a situation where De'Aaron Fox, you know, if he demands minutes and George Hill can play with him, then we can play George Hill at two and at the shooting guard spot. And then sometimes George can bring it up, just take some stress off him, et cetera, et cetera. So you can go in a lot of different directions. But once you start doing that, then you start butting into, you know, we've got a couple two guards sitting over there too, you know, in Malachi and Garrett Temple and Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovich. So it's going to be interesting how it all comes out. It always does work out. But as coaches, you stew on this, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get these guys their minutes? And it always comes out in the wash throughout the course of the season.
Final weekend before you guys really hit the grind, and that means there are not a lot of days off, and you have so many young players on your team that are going through this for the first time. I'm just curious, was there any message to these guys here on their final weekend off?
Oh, yeah, I started that last week.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Plans. Yeah. I said, look, you know, here's the deal, boys. We're gonna work out these days, and we're going to play pickup on these days. And if you do it more than that and do more individual work, that's great. You know, but do understand, as you're setting up your travel here for this week before kickoff of media day on Monday, that these are the last 2 days you're going to get off in a row until February. And, you know, of course, right. All the older, you know, all the veterans chuckle and co-sign it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm out. You know? So, which is very true. But, you know, you just try to the open lines of communication on those kinds of things, because, you know, a lot of times they just don't know. They've not been through this.
Yes.
You know, we assume, you know, that they played big programs and this and that. And that's all great, and you've got handlers here and runners there and, you know, this and that. But you're here now. We're family. We're trying to take care of each other.
You know, Coach, something that you mentioned it, but as you – and you may have done this in Memphis before, but has the ability to use the D-League expanded in your mind and maybe how you might approach it with so many young players?
Yeah, because we have a lot of young players at one time.
Okay.
It's an interesting tool in that regard, because usually you have an older team and a younger guy kid just not going to beat out older guys.
Yes.
So to get those quality minutes and get those practices when your older team is generally not practicing a lot throughout the course of the year, how do you handle it? And then there's also a value to NBA practices. And if we have that many young guys, then I can have them all in practice where, you know, Zach and Vince can be over there, you know, just hanging out a little bit. They've done it and seen it all before, but we could have some pretty competitive practices through the year. And specifically what I'm saying, say we play a game on Friday, I'm not going to hold them back on Thursday. And, you know, so we got fresh legs Friday night. I don't think that benefits us 2 years from now. We're going to go hard Wednesday. We're going to go hard Thursday. And if we're a little tired Friday, but we got better Wednesday, we got better Thursday, I think that's better for us in the long haul. 2 years from now, when, you know, getting into these young guys' third year where we can really start taking off.
You know, you mentioned Vince Carter, and I've only been around him just, you know, a very, very small amount of time. But he just jumps out at me as somebody that, wow, if I'm a player, I want to be around him all the time. You spent time with him, obviously, in Memphis. What makes him so special?
Don't you just want to gravitate to him?
I mean,
you want to be around him, not because, oh, okay, he's just a great player and he's dunked on everybody in the world for the last 30 years. I mean, the guy just has a way about him that is non-threatening. He's willing to be vulnerable. He's willing to put his arm around people and give advice when asked. And when pointed to, he's willing to do it without being asked for young guys. And I think they appreciate the way that he delivers it in a respectful way, but also just, you know, you've seen veterans like, oh, I did this and you just do this. Well, no, he explains the why and he works with them and he'll, hey, come to my basket. Let's get some more shots up there. Hey, you want to come over to my house tonight? And that's when the chop it up sessions really happen. And it's really, he's just a off the charts, dude.
You know, Coach, you mentioned a word there, and I find it fascinating. I think it's very important, is vulnerability, because a lot of older players don't want to open themselves up, because sometimes when you say that to a younger player, they push you away, and they don't want to take that
right.
information.
Yeah.
And that's what I get from Vince just watching him. I had him as a rookie in Toronto, is he's willing to open himself up to that, whether they take it or they don't take it, because that's who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know he's seen it all from a level that very, very few people in our sport ever do.
Yes.
You know, from the Olympics, from the franchise player to an older player to a role player to a starter to a non-starter, he's done and seen it all. So it's he's got a lot of credibility.
Well, you are ready to go, man. You had a good summer. Doug was saying you look like you're 25 years old. You got your assistant coaches.
Who's a teenager?
Look like, with the exception of Bob, and if Bob, you're listening, you're not going to get mad at me. With the exception of Bob, you all look like you've been training for a triathlon this fall.
That's cool.
We did. We put up the weight loss throughout the course of the staff. We got up to 110 pounds lost over the off season. So.
All right.
We're proud of that, but I just think you feel better throughout the grind of the season, and it's going to take the energy and positivity every single day when guys need to be lifted up. We need to be that energy some days. So I'm excited. I think we got a great group.
And I love Bob. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, like, paint him out to be like
you. Well, you're backing up fast now.
You hear that going, deep.
Oh, man. So final thing for you is we're talking with Dave Yeager, and again, we're going to have him each and every week. You know, you now, as I said, being here for a year, you had the roster turnover in the middle of last season. I don't know. Doug and I talk about this all the time. The sense of excitement in this community, what you're building here, I mean, this has got to be an exciting time for you and your coaching staff.
It is. It's also a different challenge. It's one that we haven't faced since, when we were all, a lot of us have been in the minor leagues, when you're putting a team together all of a sudden and everybody's new. I mean, it's a blank slate. They're blank. You know, what we put on them right now is very impressionable, and there's an excitement to going out and teaching every day rather than just grind it out. Dave's going to call some plays, and we'll see if we win in the last 2 minutes. It's really cool because we have a great group. I mean, Vlade, Peja, Vivek, we have a good group and a good chemistry in there. There's not backbiting and infighting. Everybody's on the same page, and I think sometimes, especially in your honeymoon year, everybody says that, oh, we're going to be arm in arm and all that stuff. But we really are. I mean, Vladdy's got the biggest heart in the world, and he's getting better and better and better. I'll tell you what. And he did a lot of good things this offseason, and I'm looking forward to working with him for a long time.
Well, we're looking forward to having you on each and every week, hopefully for a very long time. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Media Day on Monday.
Man, I'm fired up. Thanks, you guys.
Appreciate you, Coach.
We're going to have him on each and every week. Can't wait. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
It's going to be great, Grant. Just listening to Coach, you see him, you talk to him. These young players, they are sucking up the information. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
Right.
If you're late, well, you're SOL.
Right.
So you got to make sure, like Coach said, they're all clean slates, that you're feeding them the right information. And he mentioned Vince, and I watched Vince, and just the ability for him to talk to the players and then absolutely show them at the same time exactly what you're looking for and what you talk about. And it's good that he and Zeebo both know Coach Yeager prior, because that's going to help, I think, facilitate the offense and the strategies and all the different things that Coach is trying to implement.
All right. If you want to get in on the program, it's easy to do. 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, Media Day on Monday, the first practice on Tuesday.
Wow. Grant, can you imagine? He said, what was the date? No 2 days off
until
when?
February, the All-Star break.
They have no idea. And it's a grind.
You remember that? Your first training camp and what to expect and whatnot. I mean, you didn't know, right?
Well, back then, Grant, training camp was 2 days. Two a days, every day. Now they don't do that as much. So after the first day, I'd wake up and try to figure out how to get out of bed was was probably number one. But just the grind of what it is, having those veterans to help these young guys, I think is going to be great. And them figuring it out at the same time, I think there's that in Coach Yeager, is the ability to, kind of let them go out there and fail a little bit and figure it out, because that's one of the best ways to learn.
There's no doubt about that. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we also have Thursday Night Football that we are going to be talking about with the 49ers and the Rams. Who do you like in this matchup?
You know what, Grant? I'm going to go with the Rams in this one. I like, you know, Jared Goff has done some good things. I think Gurley, with the, you know, obviously running the football, he was stopped last year. But now with the ability to pass it to him out of the backfield, and then Donald is back with them, and defensively, they're, you know, they're not the best, but solid. I think that the Rams get this one.
I'm going to go with the home team. They beat the Rams twice last year. There aren't a lot of wins on the schedule, in my opinion, for San Francisco. To me, this is one of them.
So this is the okay. That's a good way to formulate it. Is look, guys, we don't have a lot of chances to get one. This is a chance to get one. I think this Rams team with McVay as their head guy, and there's so many connections when you go back and forth with Shanahan and McVay.
Yep.
That guy was with this guy, and this guy was with that guy. So they know each other.
Oh yeah.
That's why I'm going with the Rams, because I think they have a little bit better talent overall.
I think they have better talent too. Road team, even though it's, you know, not, but it's still a road game for them. I think the 49ers will be able to contain Gurley enough. First of all, this is a 9-6 type of a game.
I was going to say, what type of score you think? This is a low-scoring game?
3-0 maybe.
Wow.
No, but it's going to be a low-scoring game.
So if you score a touchdown, you're
feeling pretty good, I think. Yeah, like if you run back the opening kickoff.
That might do it right there. Oh, my goodness, man. It's, you know what? But it's NFL football. It's Thursday night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. We are going to talk about that. If you're on your way to the game, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a shout, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You look at the Raiders. They'll leave on Friday, getting ready for their Sunday night game in D.C. Monday Night Football, you have Dallas at Arizona. Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. So we got a lot of good football, and then we'll segue also into the NBA. The Kings' first preseason game, believe it or not, is a week from Monday.
Wow.
Isn't it?
It's absolutely mind-blowing. You get a guy like Willie in here yesterday, talk to him, hear the excitement in his voice and all the opportunities that lie. And that's not to say, Grant, that there's not going to be bumps in the road and it's not going to be bumpy. All these young guys probably aren't going to pan out, but the ability for some of them too, and the opportunity is there. And that is what – one thing I will say, you're going to see a team play extremely hard when you come to the Golden 1 Center, and I think that is what Coach said, is laying cement and allowing it to dry. That's the first step in the process, is getting your team to play extremely hard for you on a night-to-night basis. Then you begin to build the skill and the camaraderie.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of this. I absolutely love the direction of this franchise. And the difference between last year at this time and this year is absolutely night and day.
You know, Grant, when you go into practice every day, and this is the coach kind of referenced this, is the ability not to fight with each other, meaning that I think I should be playing and you're playing. That, so when a guy gets some minutes and maybe he doesn't go out and produce and someone else comes in and produce, you can't really holler at the coach. You know what you can do, Grant? You can go into practice and you can get after it. And those are going to be the times that help everybody improve. It's just really exciting.
All right. We will take the time out. We'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Dave Yeager. And again, we will have him on each and every week. All right. We've been also talking about, you know, you wonder if the Knicks are ever going to get it right. You know, again, it just seems like it's the same story year after year after year. Frank Isola does a great job. You see him nationally, and if you live in New York or you go online, the New York Daily News, he's got great stuff on the NBA and the Knicks. Frank, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
This is the big San Francisco 49ers pregame show with me talking about the Knicks.
Let me tell you something. There are probably more people right now in your eyesight than there are going to be at the game tonight in Santa Clara. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Hey, listen, Frank, seriously. There are tickets. You can sit tonight on the 40-yard line, 25 rows off the field for $40 on the secondary market for this Thursday night game.
But here's the thing about football, though. It's not a great event in person. The NBA is great in person. Hockey is great in person. Going to a soccer match is great. The NFL, it's too slow. So while they're in commercial and they're reviewing things,
you know, you're sitting there, chances are the guy next to you is drunk and he's throwing up on you. I guess it was a big fight at the Giant game the other day. I kid you not. It started because some guy threw up on another guy. Can you imagine? You could not pay me. To me, it's a TV sport, and I think why people don't go also, and I don't play fantasy, but I think the fantasy sport and the gambling, people would just rather be at home. I think it's a tough thing to go to. It's too much of a hassle.
By the way, the guy that threw up, I saw the body on him, and I'm thinking they should try him out at left tackle this week.
Now, by the way, and I'm listen, Grant, I like you, but this is a thrill to me to talk to the great Doug Christie, who I got to cover
in
New York. Let me tell you a quick story. First of all, Greg Brittenham was the big workout coach for the Knicks.
Is this okay to tail on the air, first of all?
Oh, I know. It's all going to be clean. He told me that Doug Christie was, at that time, now he had been around a lot of great athletes. He said he was the best athlete he had ever been around in the NBA.
Wow.
The guy was a freak of nature. So I became close with Doug. He and I used to talk all the time. We'd have good conversations. He enters into the slam dunk contest. Now, Doug's such a big-time athlete, like track, and he played soccer. I said, why don't you do this? Change it up a little bit. I'm sure he's going to forget because he doesn't want to give me credit. I said, why don't you do something like soccer-related, maybe like kick the ball off the backboard or juggle the ball and then dunk it. He ended up doing it. He was like the first person. Then once Steve Nash, like years later, comes out and does it with Amari, everyone's freaking out. Oh, this is unbelievable what Steve Nash did. Doug Christie and I were the first two to come up with that. Now, granted, he had to perform it, which is a little bit tougher than coming up with it. But we got to get a little credit, right, Doug?
No doubt, Frank. When you were young, Frank, and I was young, man, those were the good old days, buddy.
I know. You were great to cover. You were a good guy. You were smart. It was weird because weren't they trying to play you at point guard?
All over the place, Frank. That's because you know what? That's when Pat Riley faxed in his resignation, and we got Don Nelson, and it just turned into a bit of tell me, do you remember the first time Don Nelson did a press conference and he came up there with a Bud Light?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, there was some, you know, it's a different NBA, and I covered baseball a long time ago where, you know, you'd be in the St. Louis Cardinals visiting team clubhouse, and they would have a tap in there. And nobody drinks anymore. Oh, yeah. Now, Doug, Don Nelson, after games, like depending, I was with him that first year, like depending on how tough the loss was, like he would already have like down like maybe like one or two like Bud Lights before he even talked to the media. So it was different times. Absolutely, I think he enjoyed living in New York for the short time that he did. I don't think he enjoyed coaching there though.
No. By the way, before we get to the subject at hand, I want to point out this story. You want to talk about times changing. I tell Doug this. When Gary St. Jean was coaching the Kings, you know, again, we're talking about Sacramento. So there was Marty McNeil of the Sacramento Bee, one other guy, me and Gary Gerald. So we were there at shoot-around. And so St., you know, after shoot-around's talking to the four or five members of the media in Sacramento, and Billy Owens and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf were not at shoot-around. So I think it was Marty of the Bee said, hey, Saint, how come Mahmoud and Billy aren't here today? And he said, well, Billy's at his gynecologist and Mahmoud has bruised ovaries. Now, seriously, Frank, could you imagine if a coach said that in this day and age?
Oh, it'd be a huge controversy. It would last for at least a week. You know what? He would definitely have to apologize. And I wouldn't it wouldn't be shocked if he got suspended or the worst case scenario be fired. But one quick thing about like drinking, you know, I think there were stories even before Doug showed up on the Knicks. Where, you know, like after games on the team plane, they would have alcohol, and that would sometimes lead to, like, fights happening. I had a guy once tell me, it was a foreign reporter who covered the NBA a little bit, but a long time ago, he covered Ireland playing a play-in game to get into the World Cup against Iran. That's when they would play home and away, and they won the game in Iran to put them into the World Cup, and on the way back to Ireland, they drank all the alcohol on the plane, and they were getting rowdy because it was no more alcohol.
Oof.
And he said that the pilot thought about, like, I guess you could do something with, like, the oxygen level in the plane to maybe, like, knock the guys out.
Unbelievable.
But they finally calmed down. You know, it's just, it's amazing how much things have changed in just, like, 20 years or so.
Speaking of changing, give me the odds, in your opinion, that Carmelo Anthony will be on the Knicks roster opening night.
I'm not so sure about opening night. It's interesting, you know, the Knicks sent out a brochure for season tickets, and Carmelo's picture was not on the brochure. And then you had Steve Mills, the new team president, and Scott Perry, the new general manager, within the span of about 2 weeks, and Scott Perry's blog came out today, they both wrote blogs kind of giving their vision of the team. And I'm sure it's like a heavily edited thing to make sure they're not, you know, insulting anybody. But both guys did not mention the name Carmelo Anthony. So in no way, shape, or form are they operating under the assumption that Carmelo is going to be here. They basically had a deal in place. It's a weird timing. You know, they had a deal in place with the Rockets, and then Phil Jackson got fired. And once Phil got fired, that's when Steve Mills decided to pull back a little bit, waited till he hired a general manager, and that's delayed everything. And here's the crazy thing. Phil was the one that wanted to get rid of Carmelo. Carmelo finally agreed. He said, okay, I'll go to this team. They had a deal in place, and before it happened, the guy that wanted Carmelo gone ended up getting fired. So if Phil had still been with the Knicks, there's a very good chance that Carmelo would have been a Houston Rocket already about 6 weeks to 2 months by now.
Wow. When we talk about the direction, Frank, of the Knicks, obviously Hornacek, you know, what do you see? Try and go out the door. What's the style of play? Ntilikina now, a point guard maybe. What do you see, and maybe what's the vibe around the Knicks?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of the issue is going to be, you know, Jeff Hornacek came in there. I think the mistake that he made, you know, at first it was like he's going to be able to do whatever he wants, but Phil wanted him to run the triangle. After that first year with Jeff as the coach, Phil ran a triangle camp. It was just a very, like, bizarre thing. And now I think, now there's word out there that he might not run the triangle. So I think he's going to have a tough time with him, like, with the players in the locker room. They're going to say, well, if you didn't like the triangle to begin with, why were you playing it? And the one thing that nobody really talks about is the relationship with Chris. You know, everyone talks about Carmelo. Carmelo's the bigger name. But Carmelo won't be on the team at some point this year. But Kristaps Porzingis is supposed to be the future. Kristaps Porzingis was so distraught by the way things went down this year in New York that he didn't show up for his exit meeting, which isn't, to me, the right thing to do. As much as I like the kid, you know, your boss is calling you in for a meeting, you got to show up. He did not show up to this meeting. 5 days later, he got on a plane and went to Latvia, okay? He has been in Europe since that day. He is not expected to arrive in New York until Sunday, the day before media day, and he's had some big issues, not only with Jeff Hornacek, but also with Kurt Rambis. So they're still there. Like, Phil being gone does not necessarily solve everything. You know, Jeff Hornacek's going to have a big problem on his hands, and the size of the problem is 7'3".
Yeah, man. Frank Isola, New York Daily News. If you were a coach in the NBA, would you want Carmelo on your roster?
I like Carmelo a lot, and I think Carmelo responds to the right kind of players around him. I think if he has, like, Carmelo doesn't want to be the leader. Carmelo wants all the trappings of being a superstar. But Carmelo's best year in New York was when they had Jason Kidd on the team, Rasheed Wallace, Marcus Camby, and Kurt Thomas. But especially in the case of Jason, Jason kind of ran the locker room and was really the leader. And Carmelo really fell in line. And that was the year the Knicks won 54 games. Carmelo finished third in the MVP voting. He was very good that season. Now, is Carmelo your best player? No. Is he your second-best player? I'm not so sure. But listen, if he went to a team like the Rockets, you know, I think he, with Chris Paul being there and with James Harden, I think he definitely would help them. They'd probably play him at power forward, which at this point of his career is a better position for him to play. Listen, I'm not saying I'm a Carmelo apologist, but I do like Carmelo. I think what's gone on in New York the last few years has been a joke, and I think Phil Jackson taking shots at the star player on the team did not work. And everyone would say, whoa, this is what he did when he was with the Lakers, and, you know, he would, you know, send messages to Kobe and to Shaq. It's different. He was the coach. You know, it's one thing to be an eccentric coach. It's another thing to be an eccentric team president. There really is no such thing. And I think it was very counterproductive what Phil did, and I think it really messed up the team. And Carmelo's not the same player. But getting back to your question, yeah, under the right circumstances, I absolutely want Carmelo on my team.
Since the Knicks chose to go in a different direction at 8, everything that we see at 9 right now, Dennis Smith Jr. looks like an absolute animal. What's the chances or the over-under that he comes and absolutely shows out the Garden and all the Knicks fans just lose their mind at once?
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Phil is still employed by the Knicks for the draft. So Phil does not want to draft really American players. He thinks that the AAU system is all screwed up. He doesn't think they're as coachable as foreign-born players. If you look at a lot of the guys that he's drafted, Porzingis, Willie Hernan Gomez, and now Frank Ntilikina, so he drafts Frank. Within a week, Phil is gone. So the guy that drafted this poor kid over Dennis Smith, and Dennis Smith Jr. ends up having this great, you know, summer league. And, you know, that system that they play in Dallas with Rick Carlisle, you can already see the poor Dennis Smith being rookie of the year. And then poor Frank, who, you know, is just a young 18-year-old kid, has never played at this level before. I think it's going to be a very difficult adjustment for him. It's just strange the way the Knicks do things. Phil makes the pick, they fire Phil. Then Steve Mills, who's the president, signs Tim Hardaway to the contract before they hired Scott Perry.
Like, unbelievable.
It's a very weird arrangement.
Hey,
you know, those couple of weeks in June and July were very weird.
Final thing for you, because this would not happen anywhere else in the country and most sports. Why do you think the Garden is packed every night when James Dolan? No, really, I'm serious. Why do people keep on paying to go to the Knicks games?
I think it's a lot of things. You know, there's so many people here, number one. And later on in the season, when the Knicks are out of it, you hear, like, a lot of different languages. So a lot of tourists want to go there. You know, the whole world's most famous arena. I'm sure for a lot of teams it's got to be depressing, because the two of the three teams that made money hand over fist last season were the Lakers. They were terrible, even though they do have a history that's a little bit better than the Knicks. The Bulls finished eighth place, even though they made the playoffs. They made a ton of money. And then you have the Knicks, who have won one playoff series in the last 17 years, but they sell out the building. I think people come because, you know, they buy into, well, this is going to be the year that we'll be a playoff team. I think some people come because they want to see the celebrities at the game. It's more of like kind of like a thing to do for a lot of people. They have a huge advantage over a lot of teams because they have, or a lot of franchises, but they haven't been good. One playoff. I mean, Doug, I'm sure that's hard for you to believe. One playoff series.
Come on.
17 years.
Unbelievable.
It's not going to be a playoff team this year. That's going to be one playoff series in 18 years.
Wow. Frank, great stuff. We Always. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Grant, I appreciate it. Doug, good talking. You're still the man. You look great.
Hope to see you soon, buddy.
You know what? When you're 60, you could be in like a triathlon. You'll probably win it.
I hope so.
Take care.
All right, baby.
Take care, guys.
All right. We'll be right back. Sports 1140. That's good stuff with Frank Isola. He's been covering the Knicks a long time, hasn't he?
Frank's been around for, man, like I told Frank, I knew him when he was young, but he was awesome. He's one of those reporters that you get to know and you just sit around and kind of rap and talk with, and just a really, really good guy, man. I enjoy Frank immensely when I was in New York.
Yeah, and boy, is he down on the Knicks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's
rightfully
just,
so.
Yeah, well, the Knicks have been a disaster.
And can you imagine, Grant, he's had a front row seat for all of this since, well, obviously, you know, when I was there, they were going to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, and then it's just pretty much been a downhill spiral with the exception of, what do you say, 1 year? 1 year. 1 year. So this will be 17 out of 18 years. Well, the Eastern Conference is terrible, but Knicks are even worse, I think. That's bad.
Really bad.
And how about Kristaps Porzingis not coming in until the day before?
How about that, huh?
Now, that isn't like a super big problem if you're in communication and you've been maybe back and forth a couple times. That's okay. I get that. But you've been gone, no exit meeting, haven't had any communication. They have no idea what you've been doing. And the day right before you show up, boy, oh, boy, it's going to be a soap opera must watch in New York.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You wonder at what point do things change with any organization. And I said this, I think 2 years ago. I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. You know, very similarly to what the Kings did with DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't working, you've got to try something different. You just can't keep on going with the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm not comparing DeMarcus with Carmelo in terms of their basketball acumen, personalities, or whatever. I'm just using those two as an example. Very similar to what the Golden State Warriors did when they traded Monte Ellis, who at the time was their best player. At some point, if it's not working, you've got to roll the dice and try something different. And the Knicks, to me, have been treading water for a number of years with the same thing over and over and over again. It's time to go in a different direction, plain and simple.
Yeah, and did they wait too long? Maybe that
yes,
might
they
be.
Did.
Yeah, that might be the question as well, Grant. I mean, you as soon as you probably saw that Kristaps was your guy, and that's nothing against Carmelo. What it is I want to get the most value that I can to probably help put around this player, because now you got to take into consideration Kristaps Porzingis' skill set. What does he do good? Now I need to pair that with players around him that can help him do his best, and he help the team take that next step. Scott Perry, who we love, Grant, we got a chance to know him.
Big fan of Scott's.
Yeah. He has his hands full, to say the least.
Oh, yes, he does. He knew what he was getting into.
Yes.
But you know what? Scott Perry can also be a hero in New York if he turns this team around.
Yeah.
Like, he will be a guy that people will put in the same. Well, you probably don't know who George Young is, but the New York Giants were a horrible, pathetic franchise. And when George Young became the GM, he turned everything around. And even to this day, George Young is like a symbol of greatness in New York. Again, we're talking about the Knicks. The number one show in New York are the New York Knicks. If he can get the Knicks into a winner, Scott Perry will own that town.
Well,
and you know, you played there.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're a Knick, I mean, there's nothing else in New York.
And I'm sorry, how long were you there?
2.5 years.
Two and a half.
Okay. Or two years, yeah.
2 years, okay.
The general manager that was for the Red Sox, now he is for the
Cubs. Epstein?
Similar. He can probably go, they love him in Chicago.
Are you kidding me? He's done something in two cities that people thought would be impossible.
And imagine that, Grant. Just think about that. That means that the ability to have that type of foresight and those type of things, if you turn it around in an iconic market like New York City, there won't be anything that he can't do.
All right. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, and we have got 2 hours left. And again, if you're just joining, it's been a really fun 2 hours talking with Dave Yeager. He was on with us for about 20 minutes, and it's always good to have the coach of the Kings on. And then we've got two more hours left. Hope you enjoyed the conversation we had with Frank Isola.
It's 4:56. Time to get your car washed at Seven Flags Sunrays Express Car Wash in Citrus Heights, where you get unlimited car washes for $19.99 a month.